Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Happy Tuesday. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and live on ESPN Plus. Courtney Cronin and Teron Davenport sitting in for Greeny. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on Greeny appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Be sure to check out the Man in the Arena podcast, a 10-part series exploring how sports impacts our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career. Brought to you by ZipRecruiter and available wherever you get your podcast. Gilbert Arenas, a former NBA guard, you might have heard of him. Well, this is one part of his story many of you probably did not know. He was drafted by the Golden State Warriors in 2001 and apparently ran into some money problems early in his career. After spending all of his rookie deal before he ever played a game, he found out he was broke. And here he is on Vlad TV talking about his life as a rookie.
I'm sitting on the bench, not playing, not getting any time, not practicing, don't have no money.
I can spend it all.
Yeah, I spent it all. So when they did my budget, I can only spend $500 a month for, you know, that's gas my gas money, girlfriend, two dogs. Like I don't have any money. Right. So I couldn't even drive back and forth to the arena. Yeah. So I had to stay at the arena sometimes.
You slept in the arena.
I slept in the arena.
A professional NBA player.
Slept in the arena.
Sleep was basically homeless. Basically, take me back to the park.
Yeah, I'm basically homeless, right. But I just couldn't afford the gas all the time.
Okay, so that was Gilbert Arenas talking about his rookie struggles when he found out he was broke because he spent all of his money. I lived in the Bay Area for 17 months, Teron. To make $500 go very far in that part of the country, incredibly difficult task.
Yeah.
But in my mind, when I'm listening to Gilbert Arenas saying he slept in Oracle Arena for parts of his rookie season because he couldn't afford to get, you know, back and forth from the Bay Bridge, wherever he was staying, I keep thinking, where? Because that place, with all due respect, is kind of a dump. And I don't really know unless he was sleeping in the locker room, which, again, that place was very tiny. I covered many Warriors games where it's like standing room only and you're elbow to elbow with the next reporter waiting for guys to talk. Like, how is the question I have?
Did they have a players lounge or anything like that?
I mean, they had the lounge for like VIPs where like the ownership group would have food and all things like that. And they had some of those like side rooms. I know like whenever Steph Curry would do SVP, there was like a tiny room right when you like exit the court, there was a room that they had like a chair set up and so they could do like a talk back. But it doesn't really like seem like a place where you could sleep comfortably. I don't really know. I mean, they didn't have beds or anything, maybe couches. And of course you have a shower and everything there, but my goodness, $500 a month that has to cover gas money, a girlfriend and two dogs.
Yeah, it's not going to cut it. I could not imagine that contract. It says here it was $845,000. I'm like, how do you blow through that? That's just crazy to me. He said he bought an Escalade. The Escalade had 5 TVs in it, 4 12-inch speakers. It had suede on the top, a suede roof. He had a big chain.
That's unnecessary.
That's just all excessive. But, I mean, I guess, you know, when you come from a situation where you didn't have these things, sometimes, you know, you really splurge. And I think he took it on the deep end of splurging. But, man, it's crazy to blow through that much money that quickly. That's amazing to me.
And this is somebody who thought he was going to be a first-round pick. He was selected 31st overall in the second round. That's literally the end of the second round after a 3-year career at the University of Arizona. He was with the Warriors from 2001 to 2003, and most people remember his career when he was with the Washington Wizards from 03 to 10. I think he finally got his money struggles in order. But, man, as a rookie, having to deal with all of that and figuring out you don't know where you're going to stay. I mean, whoever was, you know, doing the interview there on Vlad TV with Gilbert Arenas painted it pretty bleak picture. I mean, you're basically homeless at points of your rookie career. I mean, why not sleep in the Escalade, though? With that suede and the TVs, you could be very comfortable.
Shoot, that's what I would have done. I mean, I would have had to be the house, you know, with all that stuff in it. But then again, you need the gas, right, to run it. If it's cold overnight, you got to have that heat on.
Yeah, that's true. wild story from Gilbert Arenas, again, courtesy of Vlad TV. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Courtney Cronin and Teron Davenport sitting in for Mike Greenberg here on this Tuesday morning. So the Indianapolis Colts are a team that has proven they are for real. They're 9-6 right now, coming off back-to-back wins over the New England Patriots and on the road on Christmas Day against the Arizona Cardinals. Teron, you and I were talking before the show about a team that they remind you of, one that you know pretty well, in the 2019 Tennessee Titans. What about this Colts team strikes that memory?
Yeah, they remind me of that Titans team because they have what I call a pack-and-play style with them, right? They run the football better than anybody in the league. And then on top of that, it's just a physical type of running the football. Like, it's not finesse. They're aiming to run right through your face. And that's what they do with Jonathan Taylor. And then, you know, when you stack the box against them, it may work sometimes. But when you have a home run hitter with the cutback ability, the vision, the eyes, the acceleration that Jonathan Taylor has, you stack the box. He gets to that second level. He's going to a lot of times have house calls because after that box is stacked, when you get past that, there's no one else there to really stop him. And most one-on-one, he's going to win that matchup against DB. So you got that, and then you flip it to the other side. This defense is very opportunistic. They are so strong right down the middle, you know, from DeForest Buckner to Darius Leonard. Their safety play is still solid, you know, even though they don't have Blackman in there. And I think when you look at this team, their style of play is conducive to going to any stadium, whether it's Nissan Stadium, Arrowhead Field, or whatever they call that place now, Gillette, wherever they are required to go, they could go there and win. They're always going to be in a ball game just because of that style. Then you have a coach, you know, Frank Wright. He always makes references to boxing, right, because he loves to be able to go in there and knock somebody out right from the jump. And that's the way that they play. So everything about them is physical, it's physicality, and they bring it to you. And when it's cold and late December, early January, those are the type of teams that you don't want to play. So they definitely remind me of the Titans for that reason.
And on top of that, I mean, Carson Wentz is playing really well. He worked through his progressions. You'll remember that throw that he had on 3rd and 9, which was the dagger that they were able to put into Arizona on the road. Yeah. Declarative win for Wentz, who we've had a lot of question marks around. He's not perfect, but he got it done, and the Colts are getting it done. They're 9-6, and they are rolling on their way to the postseason. Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance. If your pet is hurt in a car accident, Progressive pays up to $1,000 in vet expenses with free pet coverage. Visit Progressive.com. Straight ahead, the Dolphins have won 7 in a row. We question, is Tua the quarterback of the future for Miami? We'll get into that next with an expert after I tell you this word from ZipRecruiter. Several industries are projected to grow this year, like pet services and health and wellness. If you own a business in one of these growing industries or a range of other industries, you probably need to hire ASAP. There's only one place to go, ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds the right candidates for your job, and you can invite your top choices to apply. ZipRecruiter is the #1 rated hiring service in the United States based on G2 ratings. Now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. That's ZipRecruiter.com/GREENY. More coming up next on Greeny, ESPN Radio, ESPN+. Plus.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Obviously, we dealt with a lot of adversity early in the year. You know, revealed, you know, some people are with you and some people are on the fence.
You know, it's hard to get a win on the road, especially in a hostile environment like this. But we'll take it.
Second down and goal from right about the 1.5 yard line. Dolphins lead at 10-3. 5:20 left to play here in the third quarter. Trips to the left. Now they put Lindsey back in the backfield. They got it on the inside. The Waddle. Waddle touchdown.
Confused everybody. What a great call.
Jalen Waddle is rolling. He had 10 of the Dolphins' 19 receptions in that 22-3 win on Monday Night Football. Now up to 96 catches on the season, the second most all-time by a rookie. That call courtesy 560 WQAM in Miami. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Courtney Cronin, Teron Davenport sitting in for Greeny on this Tuesday. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And let's head out now to the Goodyear Hotline, where our good friend and colleague Marcel Louis-Jacques joins us to talk a little bit about this Dolphins team that is surging, certainly, Marcel, at the right time. They start out 1-7, and now they're number 7 in the AFC. When you look at this entire 7-game win streak that they're on to get to 8-7, yeah, they played some really bad teams, a couple teams in there that are already eliminated from postseason contention. But what impresses you the most about what you've seen during the 7-game win streak?
Courtney, it's got to be the defensive consistency. They've held 6 of the past 7 opponents under 20 points. And, you know, I hear the poor team argument. I hear the, you know, they played the Jets and the Panthers and the Giants argument. But, man, these teams are still scraping together some wins across the league week after week. To go in, it doesn't matter really who you're playing, to go in 7 weeks in a row and come out victorious is really hard to do in the NFL. It's 198 times in the league's history. That's not that many. So, but the way that this defense has brought it, and they've consistently brought pressure, they've consistently controlled the tempo of the game, I think it's what's been propelling them into this playoff race.
It would be very easy, Marcel, for Coach Flores to lose the locker room, you know, in the midst of that 7-game streak. So to turn this around and do what they've done, how much do you think that's a testament to what Flores has been able to do just to keep things from unraveling?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I spoke about it a little bit on Outside the Lines yesterday that, you know, this team has to believe like hell in Brian Flores, because 1-7, you're basically one more loss away from throwing the season away. Everybody outside the building has basically told you that your season is over. Nobody would be surprised if they just cashed in a paycheck the rest of the season and punched in, punched out. But and I think you kind of, you know, Brian's typically pretty reserved as far as how he's really feeling. I think he let it slip a little bit yesterday, though, by how proud he is of this team, how relieved he is that they're able to bounce back. You know, he said that losing streak and their response to it, it revealed a lot about the character of the Dolphins locker room. And it also revealed that some people are with you and some people are on the fence or on the other side of it. And, you know, I think that was a simple call out to anybody who had doubted what they were capable of this year. But no, man, to bounce back from 1-7 with 7 straight wins, that does not happen unless this locker room believes in the men leading
it. It seems like the Miami Dolphins have bought in and have a belief in quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Marcel Louis-Jacques from ESPN.com, NFL Nation Dolphins reporter, joining Courtney Cronin and Teron Davenport on the Goodyear Hotline. You wrote an article yesterday that laid out the situation that the Dolphins face with their future at quarterback. Remember, this was a team that was interested in throwing everything they possibly could to get Deshaun Watson. Apparently it wasn't enough to pull the trigger and get Watson to Miami. So they've had Tagovailoa this season. And we know a lot about that 2020 draft class with Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. Those guys are locked into the future. In spite of this 7-game win streak, do you think that they are locked into Tua? Have they seen enough to know that he's their guy going forward?
Part of the story that I wrote, speaking to the brilliant Mina Kimes about this situation, and she made a great point that, you know, it's not necessarily Tua or not Tua. You have to compare him to your available options. Like, there's no use comparing him to Justin Herbert or comparing him to Joe Burrow, because you're not going to get either of those players, no matter how badly, you know, you want to redo the draft, if they even do. You got to compare him to what there is available. If Russell Wilson decides he wants to go to Miami, if Aaron Rodgers decides he wants to go to Miami, then yeah, you do. Then you move mountains to make that happen. No, without a doubt. Tua's got a bright future, but you know what Russ is. You know what Rodgers is right now. And with a quarterback of that caliber, I think it opens a Super Bowl window for the team that might not be open quite yet with Tua at quarterback. But as far as replacing in the draft, that's not going to happen. You know, I don't think the door is completely shut on Deshaun Watson. It's kind of rare to have a GM come out middle of the season to discuss trade rumors like we saw Chris Greer do with Deshaun Watson a couple months ago. But I think that Tua has done enough to earn himself another year. What the Dolphins need to do now, it's sort of like what the Bills did with Josh Allen a couple seasons ago. You have to go all in on supplementing your investment. You took this guy number 5 overall. You got to do everything possible, everything in your power to make sure that he has the best supporting cast possible, because if he doesn't work out, y'all aren't going to work out. If Tua fails, Chris Greer and Brian Flores are going to be fired. It's kind of that simple. Like that, especially Greer, especially for a GM, like your tenure is tied to your franchise quarterback. So go out and get him another receiver. You got $80 million to spend this offseason. If they don't have an improved offensive line, that is an indictment against Chris Greer. Go out and identify the top tackles on the market, identify the top interior linemen on the market, and throw obnoxious money at them. It is Miami. This ain't a tough sell. It was 80 degrees last week in December. Like, it's not a tough sell to get people to
and
come
no
here.
Tax.
No income tax. Yeah, go get a running back on day 2 of the draft. Chris Greer has a habit of waiting until the 3rd day. You know, he wants to find that late round gem. You know, but for every undrafted guy, for every, you know, Aaron Jones or good draft pick like Aaron Jones or undrafted guy like James Robinson, you know, there's about 36 who don't make it out of training camp. So that's not a sustainable formula. You need an impact runner in that backfield. Go identify one and get one in the 2nd, 3rd, 4th round. And, you know, then you can fully evaluate Tua with a good supporting cast after the 2022 season. Like, you should be able to make this decision by next offseason, because you'll have a lot more info at your disposal.
You can read his article up on ESPN.com titled, "Has Tua Tagovailoa Shown the Miami Dolphins Enough to Build Their Future Around Him?" He is ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Miami Dolphins. Marcel Louis-Jacques, kind enough to join us from the New Orleans airport. Hope you can get some beignets on your way out of there and get back to that free agent, hot destination of Miami. I'm looking out my window right now. It is downpouring snow. Have fun in the 80-degree weather. It's not like I'm jealous or anything.
No worries. I'll be thinking about you on the hammock on my balcony later on today with the sun shining down. My dog chilling in the sun right beside
oh,
me.
Oh, Morty.
But not to rub anything in.
I can't stand you. Please get off the phone. That was Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com NFL Nation reporter covering the Miami Dolphins. This is your year to find out that job that you absolutely love. ZipRecruiter can help. They can send you the right jobs, and you can apply to most with one click. They may even send you an awesome job that you never knew existed. Just sign up for free on ZipRecruiter.com. Straight ahead, there's another quarterback the jury is still out on. Teron and I will dive into the future in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts. That's next. Greeny, ESPN Radio, ESPN app.
Greeny, the podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Jalen Hurts comes off his best performance of the season against the Washington football team and helps the Eagles put up 34 points in a win over division rival New York. In his first 18 games, he's helped the Eagles score 446 points, yet there's still some question whether he's the guy in Philadelphia. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. Courtney Cronin, Teron Davenport sitting in for Greeny on this Tuesday morning. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Be sure to listen to the Man in the Arena podcast, a 10-part series exploring how sports impacts our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career. Brought to you by ZipRecruiter and available wherever you get your podcasts. So when it comes to Jalen Hurts, and the conversation about is he the future at quarterback in Philadelphia, the first issue I take with this, Teron, is the fact that it's 2 years in for Jalen Hurts. Let's not forget, he was drafted in 2020, and he's had two seasons, really like one and a half, because of Carson Wentz, and then he got, you know, when the Eagles realized that Carson Wentz was not the guy and he was hurt all the time, Wentz kind of went to the bench, and then Jalen Hurts got his moment. And so he's had one full season to show Eagles fans where things stand and how this team can progress forward at the quarterback spot. Now, there are a lot of skeptics who will say this guy can still not read NFL defenses. He's had trouble with turnovers. But I don't necessarily buy into all of that just yet, because in reality, we have seen such a small portion of what Jalen Hurts is and can potentially do at the NFL level. Now, I get why people want to have this conversation now. The Philadelphia Eagles have more draft capital in the first round in 2022 than any other team. They've got three picks. But when you look at what they could do in potentially going out to get another quarterback versus what they currently have in Jalen Hurts and where he has them right now in line for the seventh seed in the NFC playoff picture, I don't think you get off a winning horse. And I think that Jalen Hurts has proven to everyone that he deserves to keep being in the conversation to be the guy going forward beyond this season.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting because I'll go to the Browns, right? And you have a guy that you picked number one overall, but he had every excuse in the book. Oh, well, you know, the offensive line isn't good. Well, they go out and they get Jack Conklin. Oh, well, he needs more weapons. Oh, okay, they go out. They draft David Njoku. They trade for Jarvis Landry. Mm-hmm. They go out and they get Odell Beckham Jr. Okay, well, the defense has to be better. Well, they invest all the money in the defense, and look where the Browns are. So for me, I just find it interesting that a number one pick gets so much more grace extended to him than Jalen Hurts in this situation. Because, I mean, let's face the facts. The Eagles are rather limited weapon-wise, right? You got Jalen Reagor, a guy that, you know, they drafted, and he hasn't fully worked out. I'm not going to call him a bust because I still think it takes time. But you look at Devontae Smith, he started to work out. Miles Sanders is a solid running back. Dallas Goedert is a really good tight end. So he has some weapons, but why not look at the, okay, well, you know what, let's continue to build around this guy because he has shown potential. You have three first-round picks. You could invest some of that in the defense and also invest in bringing in some more weapons to actually see what you have rather than going and putting all this together and trading for a quarterback. I mean, if it's Russell Wilson, okay. If it's Deshaun Watson, okay, I could see that. But I don't think that there's a quarterback in this draft that's better than Jalen Hurts, frankly. So
no.
I wouldn't put it together to move up to get a quarterback. And then even then, you're it's a crapshoot, right? Are you going to get, a guy who's a top-level quarterback, or are you going to get someone that is going to reset your franchise back in 5 years? So I think really this situation with Jalen Hurts, what he brings to the table, not to mention that he's playing in a new scheme. This is a rookie quarterback, a rookie coach, rather. So that's something else to measure. But yet he still has shown production. And we always talk about his lack of passing ability, which I don't believe is there. Let's get into what he does in the red zone. This man has 10 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I don't understand, why we want to give up on him so soon, when were we not just talking about Tua a couple minutes ago, and I get it. He was a first-round pick. He was picked fifth overall. He was taken before Justin Herbert, and we know that Herbert with the Chargers and Joe Burrow with the Cincinnati Bengals, the two other quarterbacks that were taken in that same draft in the first round, they are the respective guys for their team. But we want so desperately to see immediate satisfaction for Tua Tagovailoa and know that, okay, the Dolphins are on the right track. This is their guy. They don't need to go out and get a Deshaun Watson or use their draft capital to get a quarterback. Dolphins were 10-6 last year. They're 8-7 right now. They rattled off seven straight wins. The conversation around Tua should be shifting. The Eagles are in a similar situation with where their own playoff hopes rest. They have a 65% chance to make the postseason. They're 8-7 right now, currently in the seventh seed in the NFC. And I don't think that you take the ball out of Jalen Hurts' hands right now, or even going forward when you know that he still needs time to develop. Like, let's be real. This is his rookie year because of what happened last year in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz and the waffling and the wishy-washiness of, is he our guy? Is he not our guy? Can we get, you know, can we trade him out of here so we can actually start Jalen Hurts? This is the first year of Jalen Hurts. Like, I don't even consider 2020 a part of the conversation because it really wasn't. So would you, let's reset the conversation there. If this is year one, you're not giving up on a quarterback after the first year of him actually playing games, and considering where he is, his first 18 starts, 446 points that he was responsible for helping score for the Philadelphia Eagles, to where Carson Wentz was a number lower than that throughout his first 18 starts. So Philadelphia has all of the pieces around Jalen Hurts to continue to rebuild and breed success down the line. Their offensive line is absolutely incredible. They have a good run game. They're averaging 5.1 yards per carry. It doesn't have to all be on Jalen Hurts. Their defense is getting better. And I think if you have those three pieces in the first round, draft capital that no other team has, you can get another receiver. You can certainly get a defensive end. I mean, it's a defense that is still not the same as their 2017 unit that got them to the Super Bowl and helped them win a Super Bowl. But why not start rebuilding there? Rebuild the pieces around Jalen Hurts so you know what you have going into the 2022 season and truly evaluate him in what technically is year three, but really year two for him.
Yeah, and another thing that applies to him that is interesting because, you know, a lot of times when you get these quarterbacks, they say, oh, he has moxie and he has swagger and he has the it factor. Well, I'll go back to that Saints game last year where the Eagles beat the Saints. And Miles Sanders, after the game, they asked him, you know, about Jalen Hurts. And the first thing he said, now, mind you, this was his first start. Carson Wentz had been the quarterback up to that point. The first thing he said was, it's really good to have the leadership that we needed. This is the leadership we needed out of the quarterback position. That's an endorsement of Jalen Hurts, an indictment on Carson Wentz as far as that Eagles situation was concerned. And then also, this guy is a son of a coach that always, you know,
always
gives points to you know, some of these other guys. And the gym rat and the student of the game part of it, that always gives points to other guys. But for some reason, it doesn't give points to Jalen Hurts. I think this is a guy that definitely deserves an opportunity to, you know, really show that he could be this team's quarterback.
Yeah, the formula is simple. They're making a playoff push. Do not move on from Jalen Hurts.
Right.
Don't think about doing it. Build around him. And the whole notion, and you brought this up, the why don't we give him more weapons mindset, that should apply to Jalen Hurts the exact same way it does for Tua, for any other quarterback from this 2020 class that we're currently evaluating. The knock on Jalen Hurts, he can't read the field, it's a big problem, whatever. You grow with time. Patrick Mahomes said it took him like a couple years into being an NFL quarterback to learn how to read NFL defenses. And think about it. This is somebody who's been dealing with a high ankle sprain. Yes, his mobility was limited. And we saw that Sunday in the win over the Giants. It's very clear he's not fully healthy. He wasn't really explosive on his rushing attempts. He kind of moved even a little gingerly when he was inside of the pocket. He only had 7 rushing yards, a season low for him. So we know that we can at least chalk that up to the fact that he's still recovering through this thing. It's hard to play through a high ankle sprain. Once that's healed, I think that they're going to be in a good spot. And, you know, they do have 2 games left to end the season before the playoffs. They're in line for the 7th seed. He's still going to be playing through however badly that thing is injured. Give him some time. This is the formula you need to get this team into the postseason. The NFC in the bottom portion of it has been a mess with the Saints, with the Minnesota Vikings, with the Carolina Panthers, who have now been eliminated. I think the Atlanta Falcons are all but eliminated. This is clear as day that this is going to be the Eagles' best shot to make the postseason and get that 7 seed just because of where they stand, where everybody else does beneath them. And part of that happens to be because of the play that they're getting out of Jalen Hurts. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN Plus. Courtney Cronin and Teron Davenport winding down this morning. But before we get out of here, it's time for Who You Got.
Life is a series of choices.
Who you got?
Make a decision.
Say it! Say it!
All right, I'll say it.
Who you got?
All right, our producer Bubba is going to dole out some of these great questions I'm looking at on my screen. I've got answers for all of them.
All right.
Not saying I'm a know-it-all or anything.
That's what you're saying.
It's okay. You know, I've been called worse.
All right, perfect. We'll start with this one. Cowboys coming off their big win over Washington. Is the slump over for Dak and the Cowboys offense? Who you got here?
I'm going to quote Dak Prescott here and say slump. I didn't say slump. You said slump. That's what he said post-game when asked about that question. I think they were in a slump. No disrespect to Dak. I know that he says he wasn't injured, and I believe that. He may not have been in a slump, but his receivers certainly were, Teron. And the fact of the matter is, they got it done against Washington, and they left nothing in doubt. Yes, I know Washington has been dealing with a lot of stuff with COVID. Their teammate just got in a car accident that left the passenger deceased. Like, there's so much going on. You've got Daron Payne fighting with his Jonathan Allen on the teammate, his teammate on the sideline. There was a whole lot on Sunday. But they never let their foot off the gas. Dallas's offense looked explosive. This is the first time that we actually saw Dak look like old Dak, where he's like moving in and out of the pocket, making throws on the run. So yes, I do think the slump is over, if you want to even call it that, for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I think the slump is over. And the big thing for me is the fact that you're seeing Dak Prescott being more willing to make plays with his legs. He said that was something that he wanted to do. The calf injury that he had earlier this year doesn't seem to be a factor anymore. And I love when a quarterback is able to attack the line of scrimmage and make the defense have to make a business decision to come up to him or drop back in coverage. Either way, it's a good opportunity for the Cowboys. And then him going to CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, that's definitely something. I just wish Dalton Schultz would start catching the ball a little bit more consistently. But that's just one and everything. So, yeah, the slump is over for me.
All right, who is the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC? Who you got?
I'll start with this, and I'm going to tell you this, right? Derrick Henry will be back week 18 or the first round of the playoffs, and that will make them the biggest threat to the Chiefs. Why? Because it goes back to that pack-and-play style of game that I talked about with the Colts. I'm going to go with the Colts, too, as a big threat. But the Titans have the guys on the outside to eat up those cornerbacks. And A.J. Brown, you know, when you stack the box, that's a matchup that they will win with A.J. Brown. So I think the Titans are the biggest threat to the Chiefs. They've gone up to Arrowhead and held the game close. I think this time around they could go in there and beat them.
I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills, a team that the Chiefs don't want to end up facing in the postseason. Now, we know that, you know, Josh Allen going into Arrowhead is something. I mean, that's a scary thought right now with the way that he's playing, the way that he played against New England Patriots in Week 16. I think the Bills, I know that they've struggled, but who do they lose to? They lost to the New England Patriots and then Tampa Bay in back-to-back weeks, two of the best teams in the NFL, period. They found their groove once again with Josh Allen, and that's why they paid him north of $250 million on that extension for games like the one that he was able to put up against New England Patriots in Week 16. I think the Bills are hot right now. They still. I know they don't have Tre'Davious White in the back end of that defense. They still have one of the top pass defenses in the NFL, and that's going to be real hard if you run into them in the playoffs. So I've got the Buffalo Bills.
All right, big news. Today is National Card Playing Day. I'm sure everyone is aware. So what is your guys' favorite game? Who you got? National Card Playing Day.
You know, I really wish that I was hosting Greeny on National Pound Cake Day or Fruit Cake Day. I think it was what it was yesterday, because I'm sorry, Teron. I'm going to sound like the worst, most boring person in the world. I don't really know how to play card games. No one taught me how to play blackjack. No one taught me how to play poker. I don't even know how to play Uno. I could do Go Fish. That's about as far as I go. I'm sorry. I'm not cultured. Sorry.
Well, listen, growing up where I grew up and the way that I grew up, you better know how to play spades. So, look, if I said anything other than spades, I'd get a slap in the face. So that's the game. That's the one that we always played, man. So I'm going with that.
I was told that I know how to, like someone said, Courtney, have you played spades? You seem to play off a lot. And I took that as a compliment because it's like, as a reporter, you hold on to information. You play off in spades. Is that right? Am I getting that term right? Where it's like you don't put out everything, you know? You just put out like a little tiny bit.
You're getting there.
Okay.
You also caught the gritty real fast too. So I know you got soul.
Fast learner. When we're together for our NFL Nation summit, hopefully here in April, I expect you to teach me how to play spades, and then I'll just be running the table against everybody. So
okay.
I'm excited. I'm excited for that. All right, Bubba, what do we got next?
All right, Mike Tannenbaum's already said he's done with Baker Mayfield. So what about you guys? Who will be the Browns quarterback in 2022? Who you got?
Teron, who you got?
I think it's going to be a similar situation to Kirk Cousins and the Washington football team. When they tagged him and they said, well, we just want to, you know, extend this relationship under certain conditions for one more year. That's what I think.
I agree. Like, I don't know what the Browns are going to be able to do because they're not so bad that they're going to have a top draft pick. And this draft class of quarterbacks is not great. So do you hit the free agent market? This is a team that has a lot of weapons on the outside. They just made an extension this offseason for Nick Chubb. Denzel Ward's probably next. Like, they've got a lot of pieces that they're building in Cleveland. I don't think you move on from a quarterback like Baker Mayfield just yet. The franchise tag is expensive, we know that, but it's better than, you know, going and giving him like the mega extension where we'd be paying him north of $30 million a year, which we all thought might happen if he had a good season. But I think the jury's still out on Baker. I know Mike Tannenbaum said something different when he was on earlier with us. He'd rather move on. I'm with Teron. We keep Baker for one more year.
All right, today would have been Stan Lee's 99th birthday. So the question to you guys is, what's your favorite Marvel superhero? Who you got?
Oh, God. Here we go again where I don't know anything. Like, I don't know Marvel. I don't know DC. I don't know any of those things. I don't know. Is Batman a Marvel superhero? I'm sorry.
No, he is DC. Do you do anything except cover the Vikings and do ESPN radio shows?
You know, like, let's not shade my personal life. I have hobbies outside of this. I golf, but it's currently snowing in Minnesota, so that's not applicable. I do have some hobbies. I don't know. How would superheroes be a hobby? You tell me.
Give me Spider-Man. I'll take Spider-Man.
Okay. Well, apparently I'm uncultured. I can't play spades, even though I know what they are. I don't have any superheroes, but I do have another radio shift coming up. I'm going to be hosting Bart and Han next on ESPN Radio. Hopefully, Teron and I will be together again soon so we can bring you all the NFL talk that your heart desires. You can follow Teron on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL. Coming up next, college football playoff talk with Heather Dinich here on Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
What?
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.